The sockeye keep coming into the Chilkoot, and the state has to rework how it issues cruise ship discharge permits. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Plain and simple, there's a lot of sockeye salmon that made their way to Chilkoot Lake this summer. The sockeye count passed escapement goals in late July. At that time, it was the highest sockeye count for that date since the Weir Counting Project began in 1976. As of this week, the count has passed 113,000 sockeye and is still climbing. The second highest total sockeye count before this year was in 1982 with 103,000. The Department of Fish and Game has an escapement goal of between 38,000 and 86,000 sockeye for Chilkoot Lake. Randy Bachman is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game commercial fishery biologist in Haines. He said the true effects of such a large run won't be known for 5 years, when the offspring of this parent run return to the lake.
We won't know until these returns come back in 5 years what effects having this large of escapement in the lake might have.
Escapement goals are based on what scientists and biologists believe will produce maximum sustained yield. So far, the lake has passed that mark by nearly 20,000 fish. Bachman said if current cool weather patterns, zooplankton density, and good rearing conditions hold, the lake should hopefully be able to handle the additional production.
The conditions in the lake currently seem very productive and healthy at this time, so we're pretty optimistic, even though we've got a higher number than we actually were aiming for to get into the lake.
Bachman notes that the department did what it could to stay within the escapement goals by providing extended opportunity to all gear groups, subsistence, sport, and commercial fishermen, to harvest the sockeye. Sport and subsistence fishermen took advantage of the opportunities, but commercial fishermen were more enticed by a healthy hatchery chum run in the Southern Lynn Canal. Gillnetter Norm Hughes said not only were the chums more lucrative this summer, they were less elusive than the sockeye.
I've gone up to Lutac and tried to catch those sockeyes, and I haven't had a success this year. You know, the fish have been deep, or the weather isn't right. You need some wind to get them to come to the surface. The fish have been trickling in all season, and so it's not just one shot and you get to hit them. So they are doing what they're supposed to be doing.
The chums were plentiful and prices were good. Normally, Fish and Game institutes gear restrictions for the fleet at some point in the season to allow the smaller sockeye to pass through the nets and proceed up the canal. But because of the healthy run, there was no gear restrictions, which made catching chum that much easier. Hughes said it could be a record season for revenues because of the chum.
It's just that if we have a strong return run coming back, and there just wasn't locals targeting sockeyes maybe so much up in the upper canal, because it's just, you know, well, I can make $3,000 on some sockeye, or I can make $15,000 in the same time with the same net. What are you going to do? You're going to drive your boat 4 hours down the canal and try and bump into some chums.
The weir count is actually off the margins of the line graphs posted by Fishing Game Weekly on its website, but you can still see the graphs under the commercial fisheries section of the Fishing Game website at adfg.alaska.gov. We've also posted a link to the exact page on our KHNS News webpage. A judge says state environmental officials need to reconsider their wastewater discharge permits for cruise ships sailing Alaska waters. State officials say they'll clarify permit terms before the next cruise season. It's a victory for two conservation groups that went to court claiming current permit terms violated state law. The Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters and Friends of the Earth argued the state did not follow its own laws when issuing wastewater permits to cruise lines. In 2009, the legislature amended a 2006 voter-approved ballot measure on cruise ship practices. Lawmakers gave the industry 6 additional years to meet the state's water quality standards, provided in the interim they would use the, quote, best technologies available to reduce pollution. In issuing the 2010 permit, the state said any ship using an advanced wastewater treatment system had the most economically feasible and effective technology available. But the conservation groups say any cruise company could claim to have an advanced wastewater system because there is no industry definition of the term. They allege the Department of Environmental Conservation violated state law by failing to require ships to upgrade their systems to the best available technology.
The state used assumptions that they got from the industry that had no basis in fact, no basis in reality whatsoever. And probably the most egregious one of all is that there is no such thing as an advanced wastewater treatment system.
That's Gershon Cohen, a Haines resident and member of the Campaign to Safeguard America's Waters. He says the state has not done any scientific analysis to determine if cruise ships are doing all they can to reduce water pollution. When the 2010 permit was first released, the environmental groups requested an administrative review, but state officials rejected the request. The groups then appealed in Superior Court. In June of last year, the court ruled they raised significant legal questions. It then overturned the state's decision not to allow the review and sent it back to the Department of Environmental Conservation Commissioner. After the state took no action, the groups went back to court this summer to force compliance with the earlier decision. The court issued an order to compel to the state, giving it until August 31st to respond. State officials would not comment on tape, but DEC Commissioner Larry Hartig answered the court in writing, saying he had several options. He said he would usually remand the permit to department staff with instructions to fine-tune it. But he says the current cruise season is almost over and the old permit system expires before the next season starts. So, Hartig writes, his response would serve as guidance to follow in crafting the next wastewater permit set to be issued next spring. He says much of the controversy is centered on the need to better define permit terms, such as technologically effective, or whether a particular vessel is using technology that meets legal standards. He says the department should not assume that any vessel using an advanced wastewater treatment system meets state requirements. Cohen says that finding is exactly what the groups claimed was lacking in the 2010 permit process.
Well, overall, what the state is suggesting is exactly what we said was wrong with the 2010 permit.
Hartig writes that most importantly, the department needs to explain and support the provisions of the permit, including the basis for the division's findings under state law. Cohen says the groups will continue to watch the permit process and go back to court if they think the law is not followed.
So now we're going into the next three-year permit cycle starting in 2013, and so now they've got from September 2012 until April 2013 to try to get it right. And, you know, presumably they're going to come out with a draft permit in February or March, and sure, we'll be tracking it and we'll be commenting on it, but in the meantime, if they don't go to the ships and they don't do a real analysis and ask the ships for information and substantiation of their claims, then they will not be able to put out a legal permit in 2013 and we'll end up having to sue them again.
Bob Edwardson is a program manager with the State Division of Water Cruise Ship Program. He said this week the department was still reviewing the commissioner's decision and did not have any further comment. A draft of the 2013 permit should be available for public comment sometime early next year. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday evening. On the agenda, the Assembly will consider a handful of resolutions and ordinances. The first is a second reading of the lease with the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. The lease is for a post-2023 tidelands lease. It was hoped the lease would have been authorized at the last assembly meeting, allowing it to be on the October municipal election ballot for voters to decide whether to ratify it. But IDA officials expressed concerns with part of the proposed lease. The assembly voted to postpone the ordinance from the August 16th meeting so they could try to hash out more details with IDA and propose amendments to the lease before sending it to voters. Since the ordinance was not approved in time for the lease to be on the ballot, a special election would need to be held to ratify the lease if the Assembly approves it. Up for consideration are two other lease items. One would authorize Skagway Terminal Company to enter into a license-to-use agreement with Temsco Helicopters. Another would authorize Skagway Terminal Company to enter into a sublease with the U.S. government for the NOAA Tide Station. Other items on the agenda include awarding requests for proposals and bids for several projects, including proposals for architectural services for the outdoor arts facility, bids for the Lil Graven Creek Fish Passage, and a proposal to prepare the Seven Pasture Area Master Plan. The Assembly will also review two draft resolutions, one being Skagway's Capital Improvement Project Priority List, and another with a list of those projects that could receive commercial passenger vessel tax funding. The Assembly is also scheduled an executive session to discuss the Ida lease negotiations and the lawsuit between Western Marine Construction and the municipality. Western Marine Construction of Seattle filed suit against the municipality in mid-August over the bid award for the Skagway Small Boat Harbor project. The company filed a complaint in Juneau Superior Court after the Assembly used a local preference to award the nearly $10 million harbor project to local company Hamilton Construction. Western Marine disagreed with the application of a local preference and said it was the lowest bidder for the project. A judge granted a temporary restraining order on the project until after 2 days of hearings on the matter. After the hearings, the judge lifted the temporary restraining order and denied a preliminary injunction on the project. The court said Western Marine could continue protesting the bid process as laid out in Skagway Municipal Code. The Assembly meets Thursday evening beginning at 7 p.m. in Assembly Chambers. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Just a reminder that Thursday evening will bring you live coverage of the Democratic National Convention starting at 6 p.m. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.